Psalm 143, for me it's been pretty amazing to go back, and we've been so long in the Psalms, and just really feeling the heart of the psalmist, whether it's David, Asaph, or whoever's speaking. And Psalm 143 is literally a psalm or a prayer for answering or deliverance, or Lord, revive me, I need your help. I don't know if you've ever been in that position where you really were crying out to God because you really needed His help. And by the way, when you look at this psalm, it's pretty amazing too that it's one of the seventh of the last penitential psalms that David writes. And David begins here by saying, "Hear me, O Lord, listen to me." And he starts, notice again here in Psalm 143, verse 1. He says, "Hear or listen to my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness." Now, David is basing here the prayer concerning the character of God, His faithfulness, His righteousness, and at the same time, His attributes that are mentioned, you know, here again in verse 11. We'll see in a moment. So David's heart is really just being poured out. David is probably one of my favorites in the Old Testament. A man of God that is constantly pursuing, seeking after God's perfect will. Now we know that David blew it with Bathsheba. But at the same time, we serve a God of forgiveness, a God of second chances, when there is true repentance, there's true forgiveness. And David just seems, whenever he writes, he just put himself out and he pours his heart to the Lord. And I think that we can learn, each one of us individually, whatever the situation, whatever the problem you're facing today, tomorrow, the next day, you can always call upon God because He cares for you. No matter what you may be going through. No matter what it may be, financial or spiritual or whatever the problem may be. And when I began to read the psalm, it just really got to my heart. And when I looked at Pastor Chuck, and you know, when I see everything that's happening and what's happening to many people, you know, that's part of life. You know, everything can be groovy all the time. There are problems, there are situations. People get older and older, and eventually we're all going to die, whether we like it or not. And those that we love and those that we respect and those that we have not only, you know, grown close to, sometimes it's harder for us to really let them go and allow God to do whatever He wants in their lives. And many times people, that instead of getting and rejoicing in the Lord, they get bitter and they get angry with God. We should never do that. God is in full control of our lives every single day. And so David here is expressing, look at verse 2. He says, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous." David is asking God for patience with him. And I pray that God will be patient with me every day. You know, Lord, just be patient with me. I'm not perfect. I'm imperfect. I do a lot of things that I should not do, or whatever your problem or situation may be. And God is there giving an ear to listen to your prayer as you're praying to Him. He goes on and he says, notice, "For your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul, and he has crushed my life to the ground, and he has made me to dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead." This is David's life. He's at the bottom of his life when he's talking to God. David here is probably being chased by Saul. And David is being pursued by Saul. He wants to kill him. And when you go back to 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, it's amazing when you read the stories. When David is in a cave and Saul is in that cave, and David could have killed Saul. He even took his spear from him. And at the same time, David would always say, because his men would say, "David, let me go and I'll kill him for you." And David said, "How can we kill the Lord's anointed? How can we do that?" And when you talk about the Lord's anointed, it wasn't only Saul or David. It's every single one of us here tonight. Those that have been born again of the Holy Spirit, have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we become the Lord's anointed. So we really have to be careful not to speak against God's people. Why? Because God listens. God hears. Especially when we misjudge a person, or we're saying things about them that are not true, and we're actually staining their character, we need to be careful. Because David had respect for Saul, but Saul had no respect for David. David wanted to pursue and to kill David. And David said, you know what? I will not touch the Lord's anointed. God will take care of the problem. If you have someone that is coming against you, God will take care of them. All you do is love, forgive, and forget, and allow God to work. You'll blow your mind how God will do that. Because he's the one in control of my life. He's the one watching over me. Look what he says again in verse 3. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground, which means David is really bummed. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is distressed. Notice he's praying in desperation. Notice that here he fears that his enemies were going to overtake him and put a really, defeat him and to take a hold of him and destroy him. And he's literally saying, Lord, I can't take it anymore. You ever been there? Lord, this is it. I'm done. You got to step in. You got to really help me. And then David goes in verse 5, he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. So here now, David reflecting on the past work of God in my life to give me assurance of the past to the present to the future. That if God worked in the past, he's going to work in the present. He's going to work in the future. We must never forget that. Because there are many times God doesn't work the same as he worked in the past. He doesn't have a pattern. And people put always got on a pattern. And it's really important when we look in the Gospels, the way he healed. Sometimes he would spit, sometimes he would touch, sometimes he would just speak the word. Think about that. And many times we put God in a box. And God wants to be out of the box. And he wants to be God. He doesn't want to be suppressed by us. And I think that it's really important that if you're facing afflictions or you're facing heavy trials or temptations, or you're single and you don't have a wife, or you want a wife, or you have a wife and you want to get rid of your wife, you got to really be careful, because God knows and God hears and God is in full control of our lives. And so it's not that, God is dead and he's some planet, kicking back and not listening. He listens individually to every one of us individually when we pray to him. That's why prayer is so amazing, to pray all the time. Whether you're in your, when you're driving, just don't close your eyes when you drive. just talk to him. People think you're crazy, but they look over there, you're praying. But it's, who cares, We live in a crazy world anyways. And so here David is really crying out to God. He says, notice in verse 6, I spread out my hands to you. I love that. Fervency. Imagine you spread out your hands unto the Lord in full submission to him. And what does he say? I spread out my hands unto you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Wow. Ever been thirsty for God? And then he says, Selah, which means what? He pauses. He shuts up. He waits, he meditates before he goes on. And then he says, answer me speedily. Lord, quickly, I need to hear from you, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit or into hell. Notice that. He says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, Lord. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. I love this. Look what he's saying here. He says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. When you get up in the morning, Lord, your loving kindness I need. And then he says, for in you I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should be walking. Notice he's asking for direction. Notice that. For I lift my soul unto you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take my shelter. Isn't that beautiful? His petition for deliverance here. From his enemies, he wants to be delivered. And probably every one of us has enemies. Verse 10. Teach me to do your will. Notice, you want to do God's will? Ask him to teach you how to do it. He says, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Notice his prayer here is for actually the path that he's trotting on. Lord, make sure that you lead me where you want me to be and where you want me to go. I don't want to go in my own way. And that's what the world does. But as Christians, we're supposed to align ourselves with God's perfect will. To do what he says, not what we want to do. And then he says in verse 11, revive me or keep or make me alive, O Lord. For your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Notice that. He's talking about preservation of his life. And then retribution on his enemies. In your mercy, cut off my enemies. I like that. Notice that. And destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Lord, don't forget, I'm your servant. Get them, Lord. Whoever's after me. They're praise. look at Psalm 44. He goes on. This is the battle for blessing here. And this is so cool. David here is writing this psalm to bless the Lord. He says, blessed be the Lord, my rock. I love that. Notice capital R in your King James. Rock. Remember Moses speaking to the rock and then misrepresenting the rock. The rock of our salvation is who? Jesus Christ. I love this. Check this out. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers to do battle. I like that. You know, using the sword, using the spear, using whatever, using the rifle. You know, I mean, but he's talking here about spiritual warfare too. Think about that. I mean, Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about putting on the whole armor of God, and he's taking you back to the Roman time where they would have the helmet, they would have the shield, they have the sword, they would have the arm plate, you know, for their chest, and they would have this little knife they would carry so that when they were fighting hand-to-hand combat, they would pull this little knife out of their boot, and then they would stick it right between here and in the armpit, and they would kill their enemy. And so I want to know how to do war against my enemy, against Satan, his demons that come against me. And so he's saying here, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who, notice what he says, who trains my hands for war. And how do we train our hands for war? Like this. We pray. We pray. Or we go like this to pray. However you want to do it, or you can go like this if you want to. But you're training your hands to make war against the enemy and my fingers for battle. Notice that. My loving kindness, notice, and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, notice all the mice, and my shield and the one in whom I, David, take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Wow. Can you imagine? Here David sees full, complete protection of God in his life. God is my loving kindness. He's my fortress. He's my high tower where they used to go up and pray. And this was a watchtower too. He's my deliverer. He's my shield. The one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Lord, why do you even think of men? What are we? We are nothing, Lord. Imagine that. That God has time to think of every individual Christian. Every person. He's not that busy that he can't think of you. He says, or the son of man that you are mindful of him. Wow. Man is like a breath. His days are like passing shadow. You should underline that. Because people that are not afraid
of this life, you know, we think we're going to live 80, 70 years, 90, 100 years, whatever. He says, what man is like a breath? We all take our last breath too. And we could be young, it could be in the middle, or you could be an old person. He says, his days are like a passing shadow. We're only here for a little while. He says, bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down and touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Notice the mighty God who delivers us here in verses 5 through 11. Another prayer of David. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Speaking of his enemy. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of a great waters from the hands of foreigners. Well, they were talking about the Philistines. They were coming against him. Whose mouth speaks vain words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Remember the giant, the Goliath, when he came to fight David? You notice that. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you. Notice God rescuing him. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Notice speaking of those that do not know God. And then here, notice God's graciousness blesses us. That our sons may be as plants growing up in their youth. That our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. Isn't that beautiful? Our children. That our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. He's praying for what? For blessing, especially in days of famine. Notice that. That our oxen may be well laden. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people, notice, who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is who? The Lord, Jehovah. Isn't that neat? And then praising God, the King now, Psalm 145. This is the last psalm of the book of that attributed to David. This is David's last psalm here. He says, I will exalt you, my God, O King. He's speaking here of the greatness of God. I will bless your name forever and ever. The name here is Yahweh. Every day I will bless you. Underline that. Every day. Don't forget that. And I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Notice the greatness of this great God that we serve. And here he's praising God from generation to generation. He says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works. Notice that. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They'll say, oh yeah, God did this. And I'll say, oh no, God did greater than that. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Underline that. You know, God doesn't just stick a stick out and start beating people. He gives a time to repent. He's slow to anger. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints, believers, shall bless you. That's our part. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. To make known, notice, to the sons of men, his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. That is speaking to other people about God's greatness and what he's done in your life and what he's continuing to do in our lives. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. He says, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Isn't that neat? God is gracious. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. Underline that. The Lord is what? Near to all those who call upon him in prayer. To all who call upon him in what? In truth, in sincerity. He is fulfilled desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and say to them, you know, you're praying for a wife, you're praying for a husband, you're praying for a job, you're praying for your family. God is near. God hears it, God knows it, and in God's perfect time, he'll do whatever he has to do. Notice that. The Lord preserves all who love him. I like that. But all the wicked, he will what? Destroy. Notice that. My mouth shall speak the praises of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever and ever. Notice David make up his mind here. He's making up his mind that he's going to praise God forever and ever and ever. And then 146, God returns here. Investing in God is good returns. He says again, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. And also what? I can't sing, but I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust, listen, in leaders. Mark that, princesses. Nor in the son of man in whom there is no help. Don't put your trust in any person. Put your trust in the person of Jesus Christ. His spirit. Notice man, his spirit departs. He returns where? To the earth. So cremation or proper burial doesn't matter. It's all going to burn, you know? Now people ask me, well, what about cremation? No problem with it. There's 5 cremations in the Old Testament. It's very important. Once your spirit leaves this body, the body becomes what? Empty. It turns back into the dust. You see? We're going to receive a new body. So here he says again, the spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans what? Perish. There's no more thinking. There's nothing else. It's a done deal. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made, and now he talks about creation, notice, omnipotent God, who made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. Notice, you can depend on who? On God. Who executes justice for the oppressed. Who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. So he's what? He's advocate. He's provider. And notice again, the Lord gives freedom to who? To those that are prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Notice, he's a sight giver. The Lord raises those who are bowing down. The Lord loves the righteous. So he's the lifter, he's the giver, and he also is the lover. In verse 9, the Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless. Notice that the widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So it's an eternal kingdom. The way God works it all out. So that we can be free. And then Psalm 147 is one of a kind. It's really an impossible thing, but check this out on praising God. He says, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, for it is God who sings praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praises and beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. When I look at Jerusalem, I look at the earth, I look at Jews. God's going to take care of the situation, the problem, the upcoming in the future. Is God already preparing to move the Arabs and to put Israel in? Notice that. He heals the brokenhearted. I like that. And blinds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. And he calls them all by name. Can you imagine what a genius God is? Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Imagine that. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises with the harp of our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for who? For the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry. God takes care of everything. Notice that.
He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who what? Fear him. In those who hope in his mercy. And then he says, praise ye the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. Speaking of the gates of Jerusalem. Notice that. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. Notice. And he gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his sword and melts them. And he causes his wind to blow and the waters to flow. He declares his word to Jacob. Notice the blessing to Israel. His stature and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. I mean, all the way through, he's just praising the Lord. Now, Psalm 148, this psalm is now exhorting the people to praise the Lord. The psalm and songs here is a song for the people. He starts out, the word is used 13 times, the word praise. He starts out in verse 1. Check this out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Notice how many times in verse 1. Verse 2. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. That's the millions and billions of angels, the host of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Notice that. And we know there are three heavens. The atmosphere is first heaven. The moon, the sun, and the actual stars are the second heaven. And the third heaven is where God dwells and God lives. And then he says, praise him, all you heavens of heavens. Notice that, the universe. And you waters above the heavens. Remember when the earth was covered by water in chapter 1 of Genesis. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, your great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling what? His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Notice how he controls everything. He says, beasts and all the cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, plural. Princesses, leaders, all judges of the earth. Both young men and maidens, all men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth in heaven. And then he comes back. Notice the people of Israel praise the Lord. He says, and he has exalted the horn. The horn speaks of power of his people. The praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. And notice how he ends up, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, all the way through. Then there's a new song here in Psalm 149. And this was written at a time when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls in Jerusalem. Remember, he returned for 12 years to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. He says this. He's actually worshiping the Lord amazingly here. Praise ye the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of who? The saints. Let Israel rejoice. The word rejoice here, literally Hebrew, is to spin around. You know, you jump up and spin around. That's what it means to their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful. And this now, the word joyful here is to jump up and down. And then you spin around. That's what he's using the word rejoice and joyful in the Hebrew, in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. And the Israelis dance beautiful, man, when you see them dance. Let them sing praises to him with the tremble and the harp. Notice that. They have like a folk dancing when they dance. They don't dance dirty. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, your children say, well, you know, how come, like the church here, we don't do dances and stuff like that. Not that we don't believe in dancing, but, you know, the world dances so dirty. They do so many, you know, dirty things. And yet, when you look at Israel, when I go to Israel, you look at these dancers, it's not dirty. It's folk dancing. They used to rejoice in dancing to the Psalms, which God gave them permission to do that here. Then he says this, let them praise his name with the dance, and let them sing praises to him with the tremble and the heart. Notice that. It's not something that you're doing to impress people or to bring attention to yourself. It's to worship God. Like when David came in, remember, he was dancing to the Lord, and his wife Micah, Saul's daughter, saw him. She got upset. He thought he was showing off. And then he rebuked her and never touched her again, because he said, what I was doing unto the Lord. She thought he was showing off, and he wasn't. He says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with what? With salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Look what he says there. I mean, how many times have you been in your car? And I do this all the time because I can't sing. I don't want to hear me. But in my car, oh man, I don't really care. And you know, when I go to bed, in my heart or in my bedroom, where it might be, you know, then you can just let go and worship the Lord, singing unto the Lord. And look what he says. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Notice the praises of God. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. I glorify your name for what you're doing in my life, Lord God. Giving him thanks. Not just asking, but praising him, worshiping him, letting him know that you love him. He says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, which is what? The word of God in Hebrews 4:12. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. Notice, God was not only judging other nations, he was going to judge other nations. He will. In Matthew chapter 25, what does he say? When he comes back at the second coming, he's going to separate the goats from the lambs, and he's going to separate what? The nations of the world, and he's going to judge them for their treatment against the church. He says, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute on them written judgment. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. You know what's so beautiful about this? Is that you and I are God's saints. The word saint means to be what? Separated. Hagios, we're holy. And what's incredible to me is that here we are in this world, living whatever age, whatever years, and once we die and enter into the presence of God, we're going to receive judgment. Not like in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, the white throne judgment, where the books are open. Because our judgment already came as believers were on the cross of Jesus Christ. When we came to Christ, we repented of our sins. Jesus Christ paid with his blood for every one of our sins. We're not perfect. We're not there glorified yet. Because we do trip, we do fall, we do sin. But what do? We're conscious of it. So immediately we run to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you want to make sure that every single day your heart is right with God when you worship him. You can't enter into the presence of God like Moses with dirty feet or dirty hands or dirty lips. You have to have a clean heart, a clean mind, clean ears to hear what God says. And the way to do that is to remind yourself of the presence of God, that he doesn't sleep or slumber. He's always there and hearing and listening and watching over us. And we can enter into the holiest of holies any time we want to. And we can spread our hands unto him and worship him in spirit and in truth if our heart is right with God. God wants to help you. Maybe you're struggling in some area of your life with smoking or alcohol or drugs, whatever it may be. Girls, men, whatever it is. And you say, well, how can God help me? You know, he will help you. And a lot of times, God wants to help us, but we really don't want to submit to him that problem. And really what's happening, with all the things that I mentioned to you, all those things will hurt you physically and will hurt you spiritually. It hinders the work of God in your life. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because Paul says what? That we are the temple of the living God. Your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It does matter what you put into your body. You have become the temple of the living God, not the dead God. And so he says, come and present your bodies as what? Temples of the living God, completely and fully living, not dead. He says, and then when we do that, then he can use my life, he can use my hands, he can use my feet, he can use my eyes, my ears, my tongue, the words that I speak, my heart. Everything within me, God will begin to use. But I need to submit and to surrender fully to the Lord. Why? Because if I continue to cuss out people, if I continue to speak dirty to people, what's going to happen? God's going to have to chasten me. If I continue to drink, I'm going to damage my liver. I'm going to damage my brain cells. You see? If you continue to smoke, you're going to ruin your lungs. Cancer. So all these things that are problems, you know, and don't get, you know, convicted like that in that way. It's just, you know, the Holy Spirit is beautiful the way he speaks to us. Serving God is not a bunch of rules and regulations. Serving the Lord is serving him in the love that you have for him and the love that he has for you. And the reason that I don't do those things that I used to do, why? Is because I become a new person. I've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in those areas that I struggle, every single day I take them to the Lord. And how do I do that? By praying and maybe even fasting one meal or two meals so that I can deny myself physically. And then when Satan comes to tempt me and Satan comes to put lies in my mind, like he did with Jesus, because Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, remember? And three temptations came to him. And every time, what did he do? He used the word of God. The word of God. When you take time to be with God, be in his word. Learn the word of God. Start from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, all the way to Malachi, and then Matthew, all the way to Revelation. And when you finish, start all over again. Get to know it like the palm of your hands. Get to know what God says so you can learn, and you can take God's word and put it in your heart, and you can use it, and you can claim the word of God and say, you know what? It is written, like Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written to the devil. Don't argue, don't yell at Satan. You have the power in the name of Jesus Christ to say, Satan, get thee behind me. You have no power in my life because you're submitted and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. But those things that dominate your life, they keep you in a place where there's a door open for Satan to come in and harass you all the time. But if you get rid of those things, what happens? Now you're free. You're free to be with the Lord. And then other things will come in your life, but you have the power to do what? To rebuke them in the name of Jesus. You can be whatever God wants you to be, but you have to submit your life to him fully and completely. And then God can work in your life. And he'll use your life in a powerful way. Now the last Psalm, 150. This is amazing, this last Psalm. He's closing the book now. He says, praise ye the Lord. Notice, this is the final one. The conclusion. Notice, it's all the worship, what? Focusing on worship. Look at, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. In where? His sanctuary, right here. Praise him. In his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Notice all the things that we're to praise him. Number one, we're to praise him in his sanctuary, right here. Two, in his mighty firmament. Three, praise him for his mighty acts that he's done. Fourthly, notice, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Isn't that neat? The reason that we praise the Lord. And then he says what? Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. I never played a trumpet. One of my sons played the trumpet. The other one played drums, and then the other one played guitar. I used to play drums in junior high. I gave it up. That was the end of that. You know, I was an athlete. I played baseball all the time. But check this out. He says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Notice the importance of instruments. Even in the old times. Because it just, you know, a lot of times old churches get kind of blown away when you have drums and guitars and all that stuff, you know. Like in the hippie days, I mean, they had guitars. They were very mellow when they played. There's like a rock and roll. And man, it was a time of worship. And the hippies would just worship the Lord. And then I've heard other types of music today in the 21st century. But you know what? You have to respect if God gives to them, you know, with the words to reach those kids and to worship the Lord and in God's and honor, there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe it's not your taste, you know what I'm saying? And we have to respect other people. And this is so cool that here in the last psalm, he's speaking about these instruments that are brought in to worship the Lord. Then he says this, praise him with the tremble, the tambourine, and dance. Praise him with string instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing cymbals. And then check this out. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we are so thankful for these psalms. Lord, we've learned so much and we've heard so much. We pray, Lord God, that as we continue our study through the Bible, Father, that as we now move from the Old to the New Testament in 1st and 2nd Peter, that you would speak to us about doctrine, Lord God. Father, teach us, lead us, guide us into all truth. We want to give to you our bodies tonight as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, Lord God. The first thing I want to ask you, just with every eye closed, if there's anybody here visiting with us, you're not a Christian, you want to be a Christian, you want to be born again of the Holy Spirit, then you need to repent of your sins. You need to acknowledge that you have sinned against God. And then by faith, you stand up, you walk out onto the aisle, you walk up here to the front. We're going to pray a simple prayer of faith, and God's going to take your sins in the name of Jesus. He's going to cast them as far as to the east to the west. He's going to bury them in the deepest part of the ocean. He's never going to remember them ever again. He's going to wash you by his blood. He's going to write your name in the book of life. And guess what? He's going to seal you with his Holy Spirit. And he's going to give you the guarantee that if you would die today or tomorrow or the next day, you would go to heaven. Wow. That's what he's offering. If there's anybody here, young, old, I don't care who you are, and you want to get saved tonight, please get up out of your seat. Come up here to the front, and I want to pray with you. As we worship, you get up and you come. Father, we're so thankful for these that have come. And Lord, we pray for each one of them individually, Father, that you would have your way in their hearts and their lives, Jesus. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me. Pray with me out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. Make it your prayer. And receive Christ tonight, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there? Go ahead right over there. You guys turn around and go right over there. Cool. That's neat. All right. What a blessing.